Well, good morning and welcome back. This is Matthew coming to you from the Wash and Word. That is our hand car washing business located in Church Hill on Highway 11, the Palace Shopping Center. And we record these messages to be broadcast on this radio station at 8:30 every morning, Monday through Friday. And we are a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry. That is the word part of Wash and Word. There you can come and get your car washed, and you can also listen to this message and all the other messages that are being aired on this radio station this week. We play them on a loop through the park. They go out about as far as the parking lot, and if you turn to 107.1 FM while you're in the parking lot, you can hear this message and all of our verse-by-verse messages of the day, rather of the week. And now we are picking it up in John chapter 4. This is a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry, and we leave nothing out. We continue in our discussion of the fruit of the conversation that Jesus just had with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And yesterday we looked at the verses 27 through 30. Those four verses, we had 4 points. And those 4 points, by way of quick recap, were that the moment you step out of your comfort zone, all bets are off. And of course, being in Samaria was completely out of their comfort zones, and Jesus still did the work that he was able to do there. We also found out in verse 28 that that once you truly meet Jesus, your temporal securities diminish. That we got from the woman leaving the jar that she brought there. She left it, and no longer did she care about the temporal that she was originally there for. In verse 29, we talked about how a salted testimony negates your past reputation, and that is, no matter what the sin in your past life or reputation you have, once Jesus changes your heart and your evangelism begins to speak from your heart, you're adding the salt of Christ to your message, and it has a way of overcoming your shortcomings and your past failures. And finally, in verse 30, we talked about how Jesus comes for us, but we must go to him. And this was a quick reflection of how Jesus came for the woman. The woman ran to get the town, and then the town came out to Jesus, leaving their comfort zone. And so it's a pattern that the Lord uses in our lives. And so we're going to pick it up here in verse 31. In verse 30, it says that the whole town came and made their way toward him. So this is what's happening in the story right now. Then it says in verse 31, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" Let's stop right there for a minute. I want to stop here because I find it interesting, verse 33, where his disciples said, "Could someone have brought him food? Could someone have brought him food?" You know, doesn't it seem like the 12 or however many are here? But I mean, it is the 12 most of the gospel narratives. But doesn't it seem like they were always the toughest ones to teach? They were always the hardest ones to get them to understand what Jesus was saying. And here, this woman, it's like she got it right away. Even though Jesus kind of spoke in, you know, in sort of, not secretive, but, you know, in a parable type of way. Like every time she brought something up, he would bring up something different, even though it related to what she was saying, but it was done in just a completely different way. And yet she got it, like almost right away. But all through the Gospels, the disciples are portrayed kind of like most Christians are portrayed on secular TV, a little dumb, a little slow, you know, a little naive. And I think the reason that the 12 seemed so slow to catch on and others seemed to walk away from Jesus completely enlightened after only 5 minutes, well, is the difference between a 6-week course in first aid and 8 years of medical school. And what I mean by that is, a 6-week course in first aid and 8 years in medical school both basically teach the same thing. They're both teaching about how to help somebody who is sick or hurt. You know, there's an old saying, you've probably heard this. It says that the hotter the fire, the purer the gold. The hotter the fire, the purer the gold. Now, these guys, these disciples, these handpicked ones that Jesus was training up, they were being trained up for a much higher calling. Certainly much higher of a calling than just running off to tell the town where they could find a man that knew everything that she did. You know, she ran off just to be an inviter, but not the 12. Now, they were being trained up as skilled surgeons. They were essentially the Sherlock Holmes of detective work. They were the first century oncologists who could cut out the cancer that was affecting the whole body, leading to death. You know, oftentimes we make fun of the disciples, or you know, you hear a lot of preaching about how they were the hardest ones to understand. That's because they weren't going through a 6 weeks course on how to be a disciple. They were going through 8 years of medical school. They were coming out on the other end with a degree to start the first century churches. They were coming out of their schooling with the ability to lead, steer, start, and correct new churches for the brand new covenant that Christ brought when he came to this earth. And so they have to be taught slow. They have to know everything. They weren't just going to run off and invite people to see Jesus. They were the foundation. Peter himself was called by Christ the foundation, the rock that the church will stand on. And so it may be that they were a little slow in understanding, but that's because they were receiving a much deeper knowledge. And so if your fire is hot today, does that help you through it? Does it help you to know that maybe Christ is building you up for something more than just a simple invite to your church, to somebody at work? Maybe your hot fire today is because God is building you up for something a lot more difficult and a lot more, I don't want to use the important because everybody in the body of Christ is important. Whether you're the janitor or the groundskeeper or you're the preacher and the pastor, we're all important. But there are some jobs, quite frankly, that, you know, in Christ or in the church that are, how do I use it without using the word more important? I'm caught myself off guard here. It's not that it's more important. When we serve Christ, we're all doing it for the same reason. I hope you guys understand what I'm trying to say. It's the person that is explaining Christ to somebody or giving it to them in a way that they can understand. There's no greater calling than bringing someone to Christ. And while it's important for the lawn to be mowed, that's not necessarily going to bring someone to Christ. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it's more like pressing on an artery to stop the bleeding rather than putting a band-aid on it. But anyway, I hope that helps. I hope you understand that your hot fire today is probably a way of God preparing you for a tougher mission that he has for your life. So anyway, let's move on. Verse 34, Jesus answering them, "My food," says Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more than the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefit of the labor." All right, let's stop right there and talk about the will of God. You know, the will of God is not an event. It's not a time. It's not even a thing. It is a life. It is what you are here to do. You know, it's been said that the end of self is the beginning of God. Well, the opposite can also be said. The end of God is the beginning of self. You know, Jesus came to do the will of God and to finish it. I love that he added that part, because the end of the will of God is the beginning of eternal life. We would never finish the will of God, because the will of God is a life. It's our life. But there is an end to the will of God, and that is the beginning of eternal life. So the will of God for your life ends at your death, but that's just the beginning of your eternal life. Philippians 3:14, Paul says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's such a sense of urgency in his voice. You know, there are people, they call them fence sitters, where you're sitting half in the world and half on Christ and or in Christ, and you know, you're just kind of wishy-washy, going back and forth. You cannot perfect the flesh and then submit fully. In other words, it's not our job to become perfect in order to submit to the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God and the subsequent submission that perfects us. We too often we have it the other way around. Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? And what he's trying to do here is he's trying to quicken the Spirit within the disciples. He's telling them, because there is a harvest that is coming, and not in 4 months or 4 years, but right now. In a way, what's happening is Jesus is saying, hey, guys, right now, there is an entire town on their way out here right now. And so if we're waiting to be, quote, ready in our lives to evangelize the gospel, we're going to miss out on a whole lot of right now opportunities. You're never going to be ready. In other words, you know, you're never going to be to that place. No, we don't rely upon ourself. We attained our salvation and our perfection through the Spirit. Why are we going to try to get better through the flesh? So Jesus is saying, guys, disciples, hey, they're on their way here now. We don't have time to wait. Your harvest time is now. We cannot wait until we're sanctified to begin catching souls. Sanctification is a process. We begin catching souls the moment we meet Jesus, like this woman did. She dropped her jar and ran to town, and now the town is on its way out there. And so again, the will of God never ends while we're still on this side of heaven. And waiting on God is a command, but waiting on self is a sin. If you're waiting on yourself to be, you know, to have a certain amount of education or to remove a certain sin in your life, or you're waiting on yourself to do this or to do that before you go off and evangelize the world, you're sinning. It is a sin of omission. James 4:17 says, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And I'm thankful that God didn't wait on me to get perfect or even better before he called me into his work. Listen, the moment you met Jesus, you were called. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. So your works began the moment you said yes to Christ. And if you've walked with the Lord your whole life, or grew up in a church or in a Christian family, I can almost guarantee your life is pretty status quo right now. You're probably a little stale in your Christianity. Well, it's time for you to step out. Get out of your comfort zone and do something. You know what that thing is. It's that thing God's been calling you to do. It's that thing that's been on your heart for some time now. And today is the day that you step out. Now is the time for salvation for somebody that you know. Luckily, this woman, she didn't wait until she married the guy she was with before she didn't wait until her sins were, you know, she got herself fixed up. She just ran off to tell. And what are we doing today? I hope today you're putting away your shortcomings and realizing that it isn't about your ability, it's about your availability. So make yourself available to God. I guarantee you'll not regret it. Well, until tomorrow, I hope you have a blessed day. And remember, you can go to our website, washandword.com, to listen to this and other messages, or come by the Wash and Word It's our business in the Palace Shopping Center in Church Hill. We love you and have a great day.